Welcome to the Tell Janice Radio Show, where you will hear inspiring stories about life, love, and labor from amazing women to help lift you up. Now, here's your host, Janice.
Thanks very much, and welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're listening, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from our guest today. But before we get started, I wanted to remind you that if you know of a fabulous female that you would like me to give a shout-out to with a few words of encouragement, acknowledgement, or congratulations, please let me know their names by clicking on the link at telljanice.com.
My guest today is Joanne Duggan of Plan C Strategies. She is an emotional intelligence expert out of Lexington, Massachusetts, and Joanne is in the business of helping people help themselves to achieve authentic success and outrageous happiness. Her topic today will be all about worry and fear and what are they good for. Joanne has been on the show before, and I'm so excited to have her on again as a return guest. This is going to be one of three topic series, and welcome to the show, Joanne. I'm just thrilled to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm thrilled to be with you as well.
And I just love the topic. I think we can all benefit from some strategies to deal with worry and fear. I wanted to also start with having you tell our guests a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this business of Plan C Strategies. Can you start with that?
Sure. I was born to do the work that I do beyond just a profession. It is a calling. I come from a very dysfunctional, emotionally dysfunctional, not physically. I had all of my, you know, my needs met, but it was my father was very verbally abusive, and my mother let him. She just stood by and let him do it. And so I grew up in that environment, thought it was all my fault. And once I reached adulthood, I spent many years trying to figure out what was me, what was them, and what could I do about the mess that had been created. At this point in my life, I am middle-aged, and I have a lot of answers as to what my path was, what the practical path was. And that's what I work with in terms of the clients that I help. I think that we all have the idea of who we should be. Then we find out that there's reality, and while there are parts of us that match what we think we should be, there's also parts of our lives that don't match that. And I think people get very afraid and don't know what to do. So I've figured out strategies around understanding what fear is, understanding what worry is. That's what we're going to talk about today, so that you then can control what you do as a result. So, and that's what we'll be following up with in the other conversations. So it's really my lifelong path, starting with my very dysfunctional family. And
right.
Then reality came out, you know. And again, there's what I thought was going to happen, and then there's what has happened. And here I am.
Well, you are a perfect example of coming from a dysfunctional family and lifting yourself up to get through that. And it's terrific that you're doing this in your work and your life to help other people. Can we start with what the difference is between worry and fear?
Absolutely. That is a great place to start. Okay. So I've just really recently come to understand how important the differentiation between those two is, because I've known for a long time how important fear was in terms of how badly most of the impact of fear on how badly most of us feel and behave, you know. Either we're really fake on the outside, which is stressful, or we really let it all hang out, or we, you know, something in between, which is, you know, more acceptable. But nonetheless, again, people don't know what to do. So fear. Fear is what we are naturally programmed to do. We are hardwired for it. There is the more I read, the more I see how long this piece of information has been out there and how important it is and how much it gets left out in the, you know, what do you do part around, you know, again, managing the stress in life, managing what shows up, because all of our stress, all of our problems start with the fear response. The fear response happens deep in the brain, in the limbic system, in its most primal place. And you can't stop it. Our brains are our brains, and they were organized to do what they do for so much longer than the culture that we currently live in. And we can't change our brains' reactions and responses to the stimulus around us. The stimulus around us is nonstop. And our brains are often, to greater or lesser degrees, misfiring in reaction to all of the stimulation around us. Because the primal brain is supposed to keep us alive. The thing is that what we are now being the stimulation that we're overwhelmed with is not about keeping us alive. We are alive. Most of us who are probably listening to this have shelter and food to some degree taken care of. And once you take that out of the equation, then all the other things in life are things that happen. So, but the brain is programmed to seek out what's going to threaten me from staying alive. And when we don't have to worry about the basics, we then react to the fear that's created by all the other stimulation. Is this making sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I understand, I'm sure our listeners too, that we are hardwired for fear. But you mentioned that you can manage the worry aspect of it.
Okay, so fear happens, okay? Worry is what the immediate response, the thought process is to the fear, okay? And worry is, oh, my God, there isn't enough. Excuse me. There isn't enough. There's not enough of me. There's not enough of someone else. There's not enough of something, okay?
Right.
And so our brains start from the fear, start thinking about the thing that the fear pointed to, okay?
Right.
So the worry, though, is the undisciplined brain thought response. What I offer is the fear you can't stop. That is, it's a totally, you know, it's an undisciplined brain response, and you can't stop it. Worry are thoughts that you can stop. You're making a decision when you think the worried thoughts that come after. So again, first of all, does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And can you help our listeners and even myself, can you walk us through the steps involved in stopping the worry response?
Fear happens. It shows up. What you're looking for at that point is not beforehand, oh, my God, is there fear coming? Am I going to be afraid? It's not about that. You live your life, okay, because you can't be in hyper alert. So you live your life. It's observing yourself when your mind goes to an extreme place. Well, let me tell you a story, okay, that
Great.
Really clarified the fear and worry piece for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I went to an event that I thought was going to be social. It turned out to be more like an encounter group. In any case, and I really didn't want to go to an encounter group. I've done that before, and it's, you know, I think it's wonderful, but it's just not where I'm, you know, again, I thought I was going to a social event. It was all my fault that I was not more clear on what the evening was about. In any case, so what the conversation in the encounter group session was, what do you see for the future? Okay, and everyone that spoke started with, I worry about or I'm afraid. And what they talked about, not enough money, what their health was going to be, what, you know, what was, if they were single, were they going to meet somebody? If they were married, were they going to stay married? So it didn't really, all the subjects were about personal issues, but they were life issues. But everybody was worried about what was, you know, about those things, okay? Now, what I tried to contribute to the evening is that, of course, you're afraid of what's going to happen. The thing is, though, that is what fear does. It puts you into the future. And you don't know what's going to happen, which is also true. And so what I again offered, which is a direct question, you know, direct answer to what you're saying, and that is notice when you get afraid and when you're worrying, which means that you're thinking about the future, you know, and what might happen. And again, and worrying is, it's only about, you know, negative. You don't worry happy, you worry negative. So that's, you know, that's what the word means. You're thinking negative thoughts about the future. Or the past, but let's just stick with the future based on this particular story, okay? What came back to me, and I think, and I'm adding this story in because I think this is an important hook that I discovered, and that was people worry because they think they're being responsible. If they're not, again, if somebody says, how are things going? And you go, well, you know, the kids, not so sure. I'm a little worried. And so, oh, I know. Okay? At least you're doing something. Now, you don't even have to be specific. All you have to say is kids, worried. Okay? And people commiserate together, and people join together, and it's a legitimate thing to do. The problem is it doesn't actually do anything. It makes you feel awful. It makes you feel impotent. It gets you sick, depending upon how much you worry. But, you know, just in terms of life. So what you can notice to stop worrying is that, A, worrying is not doing something. It is pretend doing something. Worrying is just making you think negative thoughts about the future or the past, but it's not accomplishing anything. So people have to, again, if they want to buy into this construct, they have to say, you know what, I take responsibility for the fact that when I worry, it's just me thinking negative thoughts that make me feel lousy about the future or the past, and, you know, or even right now, which is not really taking care, it's not doing anything. So, and then the next piece is stopping and asking yourself, what is it that I'm really afraid of? And staying with that question. Because oftentimes, if you can break it down to, you know, what you're really afraid, and again, what all those women had in common was they're afraid of the future and what it's going to bring. Now, I have to say to you, well, what can you do right now about your future? Because worrying about it isn't going to do anything but bring about, you know, years of fear. How does one, you know, if you're aging, there are things that people can do, you know, in order to prepare and to, you know, again, it's about, it's back to people get, they have the human experience based on the primal needs of the brain to feel fear, and then they buy into the fact that that the fear is real, and that worrying about it is doing something about it because they don't really know what else to do.
Right. It's almost like you become immobile and then you're not being proactive, correct?
Well, I think people believe that they're being, that's what I learned from this evening. These women really wanted to, you know, they and again, it went badly quickly because it was, you know, they all, again, it was an interesting evening. I learned a lot from it. But my just saying, you fear happens, but you don't have to worry, they came back with, no, oh, no, no, no. Not to worry is being irresponsible. You cannot not worry.
So you, in essence, you're in a room full of worried people. That doesn't seem very proactive. What was that all about?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if you were in a room, I mean, why would they gather this type of, I don't know what kind of event it was, just to talk about everything that they're worried about.
I thought it was a social gathering of middle-aged women, and it turns out that it was it was an encounter group. So they were speaking like that was fine, but I wanted to, even when you're talking about that, well, I have to tell you, I'm around worried people all the time. That's what people do. People are worried. There's two books that have really affected my message even more. I mean, I've been talking about this for years, but there's a book called The Culture of Fear, written by a guy named Barry Glasner. And what he says is that we have been whipped up by so many messages. Again, back to the onslaught. We're not out trying to, you know, get our next meal per se in terms of killing. So we're not out seeking to kill our food, okay, or seeking to prepare our food from scratch and growing our food and so forth and so on, which is really what our job is as people, that and to reproduce and then stay alive. That's it. And everything else is complete icing on the cake, which means that we are now living mostly in icing. And it's very thick and sticky in any case. As to a more relevant metaphor, we still have, again, the fear. And we, because we're not in basic survival mode, the messages that we receive still feed into the impulses of the brain so that we are very, very afraid. And what we're afraid of are not real fears.
Right.
You know, it's, again, he says, why Americans are afraid of the wrong thing, crime, drugs, minorities, teen moms, killer kids, mutant microbes, plane crashes, road rage, and so much more. And I found it so fascinating because, again, you know, I remember a number of years ago a friend of mine who has unfortunately passed away, Marty Sender, but he was a newscaster here in the Boston area, and I kept saying to him, explain to me why news is bad news. And he said, that's what people are interested in. Well, I don't, you know, what is it about the muck and the, you know, why is that what news is? The murders, the crashes, given the fact that so many amazing things are happening. I mean, I'm not here to say that that's important, but why only certain stories get covered and not others? And again, a lot of it is, you know, again, appealing to the primal brain.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with the news. It is all negative, almost completely. And I've noticed some shows recently are putting some, you know, positives in at the end, but they're trying to draw the audience by putting all kinds of worry in us just because we're going to watch it, which is why I try to stay away from the watching the news just for that reason.
Well, yes, and that is, you know, a noble effort, you know, because again, you know, who decided that what goes on the TV news is news? Having said that, though, in our lifetime, we've gone from, you know, a handful of TV stations to now, you know, a quadrillion television stations, to say nothing of 90 billion other ways of accessing images and information. And again, what people seek out is information about things that they're worried about. You know, who hasn't had a sore throat and gone on the internet and, you know, typed into Google, you know, whatever. And then, you know, you get back and everybody knows, oh, I shouldn't pay attention to this, but we read it. In any case, so it's so easy to have that fear be motivated, you know, be brought mm-hmm. up. So we are living in a culture of fear. Again, great book. Can't recommend it enough. Because, again, there's a lot that we get afraid of that really there's no reason. It's fantasy. It's Disney.
Right.
So that's one book. Another book that I've read that's very interesting is called Worry, Controlling It and Using It Widely by a guy, Edward Hallowell. And this book, what he talks about that I think is very interesting, and that is there's fear, and then there's worry, and there's different kinds of worry. So, for instance, he talks about the kind of worry that people have where it's panic attacks, versus the kind of person that has negative thought process, that they're just, you know, they're used to thinking negatively and, you know, and they just don't really haven't ever thought about it any other way. But they'd like to think positively, but they really don't know how. He also describes the kind of person that's had a traumatic event, so the sort of post-traumatic stress disorder now, kind of worrying, and on the ranges within all of those that people can be affected. So there are some people that have certain OCD, you know, again, compulsive disorders that cause them to worry a lot, but it might be just that, you know, it's not a constant. It doesn't, you know, affect all areas of their lives. To those people who, you know, it really impacts, you know, every minute of their day. So mm-hmm. if you're on a lower end of those different kinds of worries, there's different kinds of treatments. If you're on the higher ends, it becomes obviously a more complicated issue. So what I'm really referring to are people who have, as he would say, the kind of worry where you're just thinking negatively. You just do it. You didn't, you know, no one ever taught you to think positively. And again, because it's not about thinking about the future in some kind of like, you know, rose-colored glasses, happy-go-lucky way. It's, again, about really observing the fear. The next, when it shows up, the next question is, what are you really afraid of? Okay, and what can you do about it right now? And beyond that, which again we'll get into the next phase, which is how to listen to what it is and really hear what you're thinking. So many people don't hear what they think because they're so used
exactly.
to saying to themselves the thoughts they think, and that they really don't slow it down and go, wait a minute, listen to this with some objectivity. So it's a very, you know. And again, and we just do it. We just do it.
Well, I think, you know, I have experience with friends that think exactly like that. It's always negative, you know. Or if I'm dealing with my children and they're worried about something, and I've started to tell myself and friends, you know, what's the worst case scenario? And like you said, normally we're not living in a fight or flight. We have our needs taken care of. Our basic needs are normally taken care of, right? I've also started something in my life, like just tell me something good, you know, get my mind off of worrying about whatever is going to happen in the future is not a proactive way to live. So just, you know, trying to change my thought processes and thinking what's the good in my life and what I'm grateful for.
That is fantastic. Absolutely. Because again, it's, you know, in most cases, feeling positive. I mean, that is fundamentally what self-confidence is. It's feeling that what you're doing a good effort. You're
mm-hmm.
leading with best possible, part of who you are. And what I want to offer to you is I don't want people to feel like you have fear, then you start worrying, then you distract yourself, the fear dies down, then you have fear, then you worry, then you distract yourself with other thoughts. It's not about that. It's about really learning how to calm the fear down. The more I focus on doing what I'm speaking with you about, because I live this every minute of every day, and I've been doing this for a number of years now, and I will tell you there are still times where I get really, you know, just something happens and I just wig out, and you know, I mean, again, stuff happens in life. I'm not calm all the time. Having said that, when I think, if I could write a list of what I used to get upset about, what I used to worry about, how much time I used to spend being upset, thinking about what I was upset about, worrying about it, what I was going to do about it, and not really doing anything beyond that about it, that was like 2/3 of my life. Now it's like 1%.
That's great.
Because again, my needs are taken care of, and I am so grateful for that.
Right. And we haven't talked about your efforts and your definitions in cognitive training, and I think that that's really what we're talking about here is, you know, your theories about cognitive training and how to help with fear and worry. And so our next show is going to be how to listen to what it is that we are worried about, right?
How to listen to it and what to do to, again, be responsible for what really is going on. How do you identify what the fear, what you're really reacted to, what the fear really was? And again, how do you focus that right here, right now? How do you, you know, again, understand it? It's the emotional intelligence part. Emotional intelligence isn't about being emotionally smart. It's about understanding what the messages are that you're receiving by your reactions.
Right, right. Do you have any special offerings for our listeners, Joanne? You and I didn't talk about this, and I also want you to let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. In terms of special offer, I am working very conscientiously on my book. When my book comes out, I will put it up on your website, and anyone that orders it through that will get it for just the cost of shipping and handling.
That's
so
terrific.
The book will be free. Okay, so, and in terms of how someone can get in touch with me, best way to get in touch with me is to text or call me at 617-584-7001. 617-584-7001. And again, it's, you know, people need to understand, you have to feel fear. You have to. It's what you do after that that you're in control of. And,
right.
And again, and that is totally achievable. And I don't give people, tell them what to do. What I do is I help them to make proactive decisions based on who they are, what's most important to them.
Right.
And based on, you know, again, the past and the future, because you can't deny that either. But mostly it's about focusing in on now. So, yes, that's what we'll talk about.
Well, I'm looking forward to our next segment about worry and fear. And today we've been talking to Joanne Duggan of Plan C Strategies. We talked about worry and fear. And you are so inspirational. And I think this is such a relevant topic for our society today. And I look forward to our next interview. Thank you so much for being on the show, Joanne.
Well, thank you so much, Janice, for the opportunity to speak with you and your audience about something that is so, so important. Again, can't live fear-free, but sure can live with little worry, and it feels great.
Well, this has been very helpful to our audience. Thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you, Janice.
Ladies, I am so happy that you tuned in today and learned from our amazing, fantastic female guests, and I hope you recognize this as an opportunity to pass their knowledge on to your daughters and friends and share the wisdom of the ages. I'll talk to you again soon, and in the meantime, let's lift each other up, spread the love, and share an attitude of gratitude.
You've been listening to the Tell Janice Radio Show. If you'd like to be a guest or suggest a guest for the show, or if you would like to nominate a fabulous female for a shout-out by Janice on the live show, please visit www.telljanice.com. Please share this episode with your social network and help us lift women up. Join us next week for another episode of Tell Janice.